You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with Scott Eckersley of 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to Sandra Clark, who is director of the Michigan Historical Center. And for the listeners out there, did you all know that today is the state of Michigan's 174th birthday? So, Sandra, you were the call I made today to kind of find out how we got here, and it was a bit of a rocky road at times. Good evening, Sandra, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Very good. I did do a little bit of history, buffing up on some history. First of all, I wanted to find out what you had to do to even think about becoming a state. And back in the day, you had to have a population of 60,000 people. You had to write a constitution, and you had to establish boundaries for the new state. That was kind of a checklist. Do I get any points for finding that much out?
You sure do. But those were the rules under the Northwest Ordinance. And, of course, Congress thought there was one other rule. You had to be authorized by Congress to go ahead and write your constitution and form a state.
Uh-huh. So this, the process started earlier than 174 years ago.
Oh, yes. Michigan became a territory in 1805. Until then, we were part of the territory of Indiana. And from that point on, it actually was a very big territory. It covered Wisconsin and Illinois, a lot more territory than Michigan is today. But as the state, what we now call the state, grew, obviously folks wanted to become a state, have representation in Congress, have the right to elect their own governor, and take part in all the other privileges that states had that territories didn't have. And so they decided that they had 60,000 people, and in case no one believed them, Michigan conducted a census to prove it in 1835. And they requested that Congress give them that permission to form a government, and Congress said, no, it wasn't a good time.
Well, what else was so pressing?
Well, what was so pressing was that Michigan and Ohio couldn't agree on what Michigan's southern boundary should be.
So the boundary dispute with Ohio, I'm looking at a map of the Northwest Territory.
Uh-huh.
That's where we had to come to an agreement first.
Right, because, you know, back in that time we didn't have very precise map making sometimes, and so you had things like the boundary runs due west from the southern tip of Lake Michigan. And Michigan said that that line included Toledo, and Ohio said, no, it didn't. And, of course, Michigan really wanted Toledo because back then our best way of getting around was by water.
Sure.
And Toledo was connected with canals to the Ohio River. And so they thought that was going to become the great center of business and that it would be very important to the future of our state and was worth fighting for.
And fighting we did. The Toledo War, is this what came about from that dispute?
Yes, it did. And it's, you know, it's by our standards today, it's not much of a war. No one got killed, which is a good thing. But there were efforts to establish control of that little Toledo Strip to hold the Ohioans came in and held a session of court to prove that they were doing it, and the Michiganians arrived about 4 or 5 hours after the Ohioans left. So, a lot of passing in the night, but yeah, people were very upset, very trying to establish their claim. Cooler heads prevailed, and a compromise that a lot of people weren't very happy about at the time was that Michigan would give up its claims to the Toledo Strip, and would get the western half of what we now call the Upper Peninsula.
It sure looks like a good deal now, doesn't it?
It does, but it sure didn't then.
Wow.
They had no idea about that there was iron or copper up there, and it was just wilderness to them.
Well, it still is. Some areas, thankfully, still
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
But economically, when like you said, when copper and the mines and so forth were found up, it looked a whole lot nicer to us.
Yes, it did.
Well, where did we go kind of from there? After the Toledo War and that dispute was settled, how did we get to becoming a state?
Well, finally, on January 26th of 1837, Congress actually passed the law that said we were the state. But one of the things I think is interesting, we'd gone ahead and written our Constitution in 1835.
Mm-hmm.
We'd held an election. We'd elected a governor and a legislature. And between the end of 1835 and January of 1837, they went ahead and governed.
Aha, uh-huh, without being officially a state.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, little independence there.
I kind of like the spirit, don't you?
I do. I do. I like that sense of not waiting around for somebody else to tell you it's okay and kind of forging on ahead. So, in some ways, that letter from Andrew Jackson that says you're officially in is not nearly as exciting, probably, as they felt when they adopted that Constitution and elected the first governor.
A little anticlimactic.
A little, yeah.
But it's still. But we'll take celebrating. So officially, it was in 1836 on September 26th.
1837.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
1837. Wow. The Michigan Historical Center is an amazing place. I have been there on several field trips. I'm telling my age a bit. Taking children in classes on several field trips. It's always an exciting place. In the couple minutes we have left, what are some events coming up and things going on there?
Well, right now we've got an exhibit on toys, which is a lot of fun. It'll be in until the end of February, and I think it comes out maybe March 6th. And then what we're working real hard on now is an exhibit on Michigan and the Civil War.
Whoa.
And we're actually going to eventually do two exhibits on that topic. This one is called From Plowshares to Swords. And we want to look at that moment in time, 150 years ago, when Michigan went from being this agrarian community, what, we'd been a state for a little more than 20 years, so we'd found the mines and the lumber and things, but those were all just getting started. And then we become a state that is part of a nation that's at war with itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of want to look at that little moment in time. What did Michigan look like? What have we done? We'll talk a little bit about Michigan's role opposing slavery, talk about Michigan and the founding of the Republican Party, and then kind of get into that, what does it mean to go to war? And kind of we've got some extraordinary accounts, first-person accounts, people's memoirs, their diaries. So we're really going to try to draw on those so that it's not us telling you what it was like. It's people talking in their own words.
Well, and that's what the Michigan Historical Center does so well. I encourage folks, if they haven't been there, boy, don't wait. I mean, it's an extraordinary operation and the things inside. And I'm hoping, frankly, talking about the birth of Michigan as a state will send some folks down and get them reading about our great history.
Yeah.
I appreciate you celebrating Michigan's birthday with us and telling us how we got here. Thank you, Sandra.
And thank you for the opportunity to share it.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Sandra Clark, director of the Michigan Historical Center, on how Michigan became a state on our 174th birthday. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.